Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or smoker or even a deep fryer because there's still plenty of time. It's always time to grill in your backyard. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, what's cooking is chili, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Chili. We're actually recording this early because as you're listening to this, Jop and I are downtown Ada, Michigan at the third annual chili cook-off and craft brew event. So we're hoping to do some real damage.
Right about this time, that smoker is full of top sirloin and a bunch of vegetables, and we can say this now because if they ain't got the ingredients with them, it ain't going in there.
We're still not going to say it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got the big ABS Judge smoker down there. I fired it up last week. I cooked for my friend John Spoolstra's 80th birthday party and fed about 80 people. It was wonderful. That thing performed so nicely. I had to throw a whole bunch of stuff on there just because once you fire it up, it's so cool. But I had the rotisseries working. I did beans and just a bunch of little sides and stuff. But really nice to show up with around 80 or 90 people in a showroom and have an 80-year-old guy who looks like he's 60 walk in the door and have everybody scream and start clapping.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
He's an amazing guy. And
great surprise.
Yeah, my God.
80 is a milestone too, man. You know, there's a lot of people who don't get there.
I can tell you this. You could not keep up with that man.
Yeah, you know what?
Your son told me either.
That, who's 22.
Yeah.
And he helped me out the other day at work. He stopped by and lent it a hand. And he's like, I talked to him about it because I knew you were going to go do that cook. And he said, yeah, I work with that guy. He said, they build pools, right? That's what they do. He's like, Jop, that 80-year-old man out shovels me. And this, your son's what, 22, 23?
And strapping.
Yeah. I mean, he's ripped. And it was just good to hear him. But good to always have a friend that you can, you know, hang out with and reflect back on all the cool things he's done.
Well, today, December 3rd, 100 years ago today, my father was born.
Really?
Yeah, Towno Nirmico was born in Wakefield, Michigan on our farm.
Okay.
And, of course, I was the youngest of seven kids, so he was in his 40s when I was born.
Sure.
But he's been gone since, 91.
Yeah.
But 100 years ago today, man.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
That'll make you stop and think.
I know it.
I'm not sure we'll see that, but he didn't either. But you know what? Live it like you can.
Well,
you can.
He in the Depression, he was a lumberjack.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were up there.
Oh, that's where the pasties came from in your family.
No wonder
you'd like ketchup and not gravy. It's hard to carry gravy in your pocket.
Pasty country. And, I've got a lot of memories of going to the farm and hunting and, you know, what they learned. My grandpa came over from Finland in, like, turn of the century with his brothers, and they all bought farms right next to each other.
Sure.
And their barns were loaded up with things that, I mean, my grandpa, they had cows, and it was the Depression, and my mother used to love to go to her in-law's house because they had meat.
Yeah.
But my grandpa had this big foot-pedaled stitching machine. He made all their boots, tanned the hides. I mean, that's what people did. They were self-sufficient.
Sure.
And now we have people that, if they don't have their iPhone, they can't get a meal.
Right.
You know, so I think it'd be okay to go back to a little more self-sufficiency. And I think in this show we can help people kind of take care of themselves a little bit. And one thing we're going to do today is help them learn how to make chili if they're struggling with it.
And a lot of different varieties. We're going to hit chicken, green, cowboy, Tex-Mex, you name it, good old American, whatever the chili is. And a lot of them are the same, but just a little twist and a few different ingredients. But,
yeah.
It should be a lot of fun. This is chili season, man.
Yeah, that's right. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grillin' Guys and The Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And you can check us out on Facebook / The Grillin' Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy. And, of course, our website is thegrillinguys.com. We get a lot of action on that website. We're updating it every week. There's recipes. You can contact Jop on there. You can contact me on there. Or you can just listen to past shows. There's a spot up on the top right side of the website. You can click on if you want our podcast. That's a growing number of people that like to download podcasts. You can listen live. You can just hit the streaming button whatever time it's on in your market. If you can't get yourself near a radio, which a lot of us can't these days, you can just put it on your laptop.
Right.
Or your
pretty
phone.
Cool way. You know, I live in a little hole. Where I live, I'm in a gully, and this radio signal pops over top of me, and I listen to on iHeartRadio all the time is where I'm at. And you just tune into your station, and you end up picking us up, man.
So did you do any grilling this week?
You know what? I did, and it was the simplest stuff, but I go to the big box store, and I see chicken thighs on sale. I think you saw them, too,
yeah.
Because you talked to me after I did it. But just one little tip on that is there were chicken thighs with skin and bone in.
Yep.
And
the only way to do them.
Right.
Well, not really.
But they're
back.
Good that way.
Yep.
And so I season them up. I peel the skin back and put a little salt seasoning between the skin and the it helps it crisp up a little bit, and then I put it on the top. But that's where I was going with this, is that I put them on my big green egg, and I had my plate setter, which is that divider that separates the coals so from the grate, so it's not directly on heat. You're getting convective heat, right, rather than direct heat. So I do this, and I get them up to about 160 degrees, and I'm grabbing them with the tongs. I put the thermopen in them. They're done, right? But I'm grabbing them with the tongs, and the skin's still rubbery, and I don't really like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do, I open up the air vent on the top and the bottom, run that thing up to about 600 degrees for about 7 or 8 minutes is all it was. And you could hear it just crackling in there, right? And I've got a cast iron plate setter. I don't have the ceramic one anymore.
Oh, good.
Because I broke two or three of the ceramic ones. So I said, I'm not breaking another one. We're going to cast iron. But boy, did that really snap and crackle and create a little smoke right at the end on them, and took them off, and they were nice and crispy. But word of caution, okay, I had that air damper open on the top, on the bottom, and the little slide on the top, it's
yep.
a Kamado.
Yep.
I opened that lid, that rush of oxygen,
woof, woof.
I had flames a foot and a half above that grate.
I did the exact same
sides,
thing.
Man.
I had to go in the garage and get a beer and douse it.
Yeah, or I could show you, if I rolled up my sleeve, my right arm has no hair left on it. My left arm's got plenty because I was reaching in there when I did it like a dummy.
I forgot something when I did mine, and I learned this accidentally a year ago when Charlie was living with us. I accidentally overdid the chicken thighs, and I brought them up to 180.
Yeah.
Best thing you can ever do.
Really?
Yeah. There's something about thighs, there, if the bone in particular, that 165 does not cut it. I would not, and I took mine off this week at 165. I had to put them back on. They were not how I wanted them. The time I accidentally overdid them, they were spot on perfect. So I'm going to say bring those babies up to 175 or 180 easily, because there's so much connective tissue and blood in those joints
right.
that you really need to cook thoroughly through there to tenderize everything. And
I don't know what my temperature
you
was
won't
because
hurt them.
It was 160 when I cranked it up.
Yep.
So obviously they got hotter.
Yep.
They were tasty. And you know, what I like to do is that bulk pack's got a dozen of them in it, right?
Right.
Well, you know, I got meals for 3 or 4 days.
Right.
And make chicken salad out of it. You do anything you want with it. And
yeah.
it's just a really versatile meat.
So that's word of the day. Bone-in chicken thighs. Overcook them. You cannot destroy those
don't
things.
Burn them, but just get them up to a little bit higher temperature. But coming up next, Barbecue Bob and I are going to talk a little bit about some different styles of chili, maybe even a little salsa verde as we move around the Southwest where chili's home was, but we're going to put a little Michigan twist on it. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Flies in the Vaseline we are. Sometimes it blows my mind. Keep getting stuck here all the time.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at StandaleLumber.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and get out in your backyard and do some smoking or some grilling. Or you could even do a little boiling and smoking like Barbecue Bob and I are doing right now. We're recorded this show earlier in the week. Because as you listen to us right now, Barbecue Bob and I are in Ada, Michigan at a chili and beer festival, and we have paired up with a local microbrew called the Gravel Bottom, and we are making some smoky porter chili right now, and we're in competition with 16 other beer and chili purveyors, and then there's another division of about another 20 that aren't mixing it with beer, but of course in Grilling Guys style, you can't cook without a microbrew, and why not cook with it, right, Bob?
There you go. I stopped into Gravel Bottom and saw Nick the other day and had a little taste of that smoky porter.
Yeah.
It wasn't on tap yet, but he drew a little bit off the vat, and it's going to be nice. It's going to be really nice.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is I know we're recording, but I can pretty much peg this one on Saturday morning. They're probably going to bring us a little more than just what we need to cook with.
Let's hope so.
Right. So
it's a long day.
Yeah.
I had a nice surprise. My daughter Emily and her husband and two grandkids came out.
Your only grandkids.
Yeah, awesome. My first ones. So anyway, long and the short of it is last week we put Matt on a plane back to Hollywood, and Em and the kids are staying with us for the next 3 weeks till Christmas.
Wow.
So, yeah, so Emily and the girls get to come down to the chili cook-off with my wife.
Oh,
yeah,
how fun is that?
We're going to have the whole family down there.
We're going to have the non-alcoholic version for the granddaughters. Oh, wait, no, they're only like 4 months old.
And so Emily is the she's a real foodie, so she loves cooking. She's
right?
She's really
inherited that from the old man.
Really refining her skills, and so she's looking forward to it. She's a little fanatical about her cooking. She's very touchy. I don't know where she gets that from.
Me either. I've never had a dispute with you how stuff has been cooked, you know, but anyway, it's cool to see her have that big of an interest in it.
Yeah, very cool. So our cowboy Rob Russell taught me a recipe for cowboy chili.
How is Rob Russell?
He's good. I saw him when I was in Kansas, but he had a recipe for cowboy chili that we have posted on our website. And I will make sure it's reposted if it's not, but I'm pretty sure I put that recipe up a couple years back. And cowboy chili is a sort of a Texas style. I'm going to say it's somewhere between Texas and Kansas versions.
Kind of where he is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's with pinto beans, which I really like.
Yep.
And a lot of us do.
Rather than those red kidneys.
Yeah, yeah. It's smoky. It's a nice variation of chili. It's a little bit different. I tend to prefer, you know, the maybe more of a Tex-Mex version, but the cowboy style is strictly pinto bean, and mm-hmm. that does change the profile of it. Most people use kidney beans, or like we use a variety.
Right.
So the pinto takes it in a little different direction. I kind of like that.
What does he use for meat?
That recipe calls for steak.
Okay. All right, and any special cut, or is just what he's got?
Man, I should have printed off the recipe so I could right. I could well, I be a little bit down, more into. No, that's okay. I brought it up, but the one that really intrigues me is the one I ran into in Colorado, and out there they're real big on and it. And from what I can tell, it's mostly just like Colorado and New Mexico area, but it's called green chili, and we had a guy on here about 3 years ago. That I met from Colorado, and he did one called the Green Menace.
I remember that.
Yeah. And we have a variation of that recipe as well. But if you're in the Colorado area, last time I was out there, I was down in Pueblo, and I told my client, I definitely want to get some green chili. So everywhere I went, I was eating green chili. It reminds me of a salsa verde, which I absolutely love, and I've been making a lot lately. And the thing that makes it green...
I think they call that chili verde.
They might.
Green chili.
They
yeah.
might. So the thing is, you're using green-type tomatoes. They're called tomatillas. And what I do when I make my verde is I'm roasting those tomatillas. And the other thing about the green chili is they smoke a pork shoulder, and they use that for their chili. So it's almost like a salsa verde with pork in it, and then heat it up. There's no beans in a green chili.
Oh, okay. and that was vegetables and meat.
And that was really disappointing when I heard about it. But then when I tasted it, it was like, I don't even care what's missing in this. There's so much flavor. My mouth's watering as I think about it. But I started off the day, my first day in Pueblo, with a green chili omelet. And it was game over at that point. I couldn't have been happier because I love chili omelets. I love chili. And this little bistro we were at just happened to make a fantastic green chili. And and it had a kind of a hotter profile because they put serranos in green chili.
Okay.
And they also use poblano. And they use a variety of peppers that aren't as common in our market. They have another pepper that you can only get in Colorado a certain time of the year. And so they hoard those, and they save those for their green chili. And I can't think of the name of it. But
now, I've seen them put in this Colorado green chili. I did a little research on it. I've not eaten it, okay, but in from Colorado, other than the stuff that you've made. But I see that they put rice on top of it. It's like we would put cheese or a lump of sour cream. They're going to put rice on top of that and mix that in, and almost now it's starting to swing gumbo.
It's
to me a little bit.
It's exactly yeah. right. Yeah, that's when I was down with T-Gid, he put rice on top of his gumbo and on mine, and then they put potato salad on top of that. So that was really crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Right it was there. Good.
Yeah,
two helpings good.
Somebody just fell into that recipe at one time or another. But
so green chili, I guess, you know, the point is it's a lot like a salsa verde. And if you've never made a salsa verde, you want to roast some tomatillas, and they look like a green tomato with a skin on them. You can find them in more and more markets. But you roast those, and I generally I'll grab a bunch of them, and if I'm grilling, I'll throw them on my warmer basket of the grill and just let them stay up there for an hour. Otherwise, you can put them on a cookie sheet and just throw them in the oven and give them about an hour or 45 minutes at medium temperature. And when you roast them, they change flavor. But then you take those, and I also roast some garlic, and then I'll throw that in the food processor with some onion, little bit of cumin, not a whole lot, and I'll throw in some serrano,
and I keep chili powder. I keep dried serrano in there.
I keep a dried serrano in there, and sea salt, black pepper. It's really simple. There's not a lot that goes into it. I'll sometimes throw a little bit of celery in there or some jalapeno, but and then you just hit the food processor and you let that turn into a nice mash, and then you chill it for about a day. And I have a big jar of it in my fridge right now.
What does the chilling do to it? It just
kind of gels and lets it mend.
So when you got this done, because you'll later in the show, I'm going to talk about a beef chili that I got off the Food Network, and I actually made it. This was a legit one, and it came out almost it like stand on its own in the bowl. It wasn't watery at all. It was almost pasty.
What did?
What's that? The chili. The chili, when it was done, kind of ended up on a you could scoop it up, and it was almost like putting
So it's real thick.
It's just a real thick chili, and I just wondered if your verde is watery, right? Or not watery,
yeah,
but
it's very lucid, liquid. Very lucid, right. Yeah, and when you chill it, it does gel up a little bit.
You're going to heat it back up.
Matter of fact, I like it a little thicker, so when I pull it out of the refrigerator, I'll open the container up, and I'll dump that juice off that's on the top, just so that I get something that'll stay on a chip. Because it's fantastic nacho chip.
There you go. Exactly.
It's really good on a taco, too.
Right. Those little scoops.
Yep.
Yeah, you just dip one of those in there. What a perfect bite that is.
So the salsa verde, green chili, kind of the same family of Hispanic or Mexican profile foods, in my opinion.
Yep.
And it's the tomatilla that does the trick.
Yeah, awesome. Coming up next, Barbecue Bob was down at the International Pool and Spa Show and ran into a few grill manufacturers, and we've got another one we want to debut for you today. It's pretty cool. We got a gentleman by the name of Arnold Maynard joining us on the next segment to talk about the Alpa Plancha Grill Company. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com. I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're glad you tuned in. It's the weekend. You got a lot of things to do, but what you got to do first is share it with Barbecue Bob and I, because we're throwing down a little bit of chili. And right now, we've got a friend of Barbecue Bob's that has a kind of a new grilling product on the market. What you thinking, Bob?
That's right. On the live line right now, we want to introduce you to a great Frenchman I met down in New Orleans. Where else would you want to meet a fabulous Frenchman? Arnold Meunier from Apa Plancha. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, so we had quite a nice conversation, a couple of them, while I was with you, and you were showing me your new product. So rather than me blather on about it, tell us what the Apa Plancha is.
Well, basically, the Apa Plancha is a flat-top grill. It originated from the Basque area. The concept of this plancha with the stainless steel top came from a company based in France in the Basque area called Oshkol Plancha. And so basically, since I arrived in the U.S. In 97, I always dreamed of sharing the Basque traditions in the U.S., and food is a key element of the Basque culture. So bringing this Basque grilling tradition in the U.S. Was the next step, and we've been fortunate to bring that around. It's basically a great way to do a complete meal. You can have your meat, your fish, your vegetables, all on the same plate, and it has a lot of good properties with it. Basically, it has no flare-ups. It grills in its own juice. You can have the grease going out into the grease tray. So basically, everything is cooking in its. You can mix up all the good nutrition, meat sauce, and all that going into the vegetable. That's a good thing to have, and it cooks all at the same time. And you can cook it in front of with your friends and all that. There is no flare-ups or smoke, so it's a good thing for a party as well.
Okay, Arnold. So for people that aren't familiar with the Basque region, it is between France and Spain, and I can tell you that if you ever look in the Michelin Guide, I think 4 of the top 10 restaurants in the world come from that Basque region. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So basically, the Basque area, you have one-third of the entire service is in France, and the other three-quarters is in Spain, and you are correct. I mean, as I was saying, the food tradition is huge over there, and they're very proud of their cooking. And yes, we've been fortunate to have some great restaurants around this region, and being part of the, you know, four restaurants being in the top 10 of the Michelin Guide is huge.
Arnold, this is Jop, the other half of the Grilling Guys here, and I've got a question about the product, and that is this the cooking surface stainless steel?
Yes.
Okay, then my next question is, the heating properties of stainless steel, I see you've got a 2-burner and a 3-burner model. With the transfer and the conductivity of heat, can I keep one side of the grill hotter than the other, or does it all tend to get hot all to the same temperature?
Well, yeah. So basically, you have you can control from one end to the other on the 2-burner. You have obviously you have two controls where you can bring it down and up. I'm not going to tell you that one side is going to be way lower than the other, but we can definitely bring it down where the other can go pretty up. So it goes from 225, 50 degrees to maybe 500 and something. So we can balance that. And it's great to, when you start cooking your vegetables and bringing it down, you put them on the side, and then you have your meat there that you can cook on the side and cook it all together. The great thing also about the plancha has 4 levelers on each side. So if you have an uneven surface, you can make it so that it stays flat. It's good to have it flat for like fish, or if you want to have meat or bacon or things like that, you want to have it slightly with an angle towards the hole where the grease tray basically. So all the bad stuff or good stuff for certain will go into this tray. But what's the good thing about this is that you keep the good sauce, and it cooks in its own juice, like I said previously. So it's there's several ways of doing things, and also the great thing about this this grill is that you have a hole that you can plug in with a wine cork. I'm sure everybody has drank some wine in his time, and you can put you can mix it and put I'm forgetting my
your English is way better than my French. Don't worry about it. Yeah. But you can basically plug that hole up so that your juices will stay on the griddle, and you can kind of simmer it a little bit.
Almost sauté.
Now, if you just tuned in, you are listening to the Grilling Guys en Français. We are talking with Arnold Meunier from Opa Plancha, and he is. You come from the Basque region, do you not?
Yes, I come from the French side. It's a small village called Bidart. And basically, I mean, just to tell you a little bit about the name Opa Plancha is because the company that our partners over there is called Ushqual Plancha, and we couldn't call Ushqual Plancha in the U.S., so we call a new name called Opa Plancha. And why Opa? It's because it's like with the Greeks, you know, when over there when you have a celebration, you just say Opa. Well, in Greece it's OPA, but in the Basque region it's AUPA. So that's
very cool.
Thing.
Yeah, so. Very cool. Well, I had the pleasure of meeting Arnold in New Orleans, and we had just a wonderful conversation. This product, Jop, it's beautiful. It's got powder coated covers on it, so you just basically lift the lid, and you've got this beautiful big stainless gas griddle on your deck. Right. And it's very, very affordable.
Arnold, where can we find one of these? Are they available on the internet?
Yeah, so we started about a year and a half ago, and we have several distributors across the nation and even in Canada, but we also sell online, and you can go on opaplancha.com. It's AUPAPLANCHA.com, and you can find us also on the web.
Well, very good. I've not had the pleasure of cooking on one, but when you send one up to us, we'll put it to the test. So,
all right, definitely.
Yeah.
See, I knew he'd pinch you for a free griddle.
Right, yeah. No, one last question is, it looks like you got two sizes. What do these things weigh? Because they look pretty portable.
Well, yes. So the two burner is about 55 pounds, and the three burner is 70 pounds. So, you know, I mean, that's pretty reasonable. I mean, I've got... a lot of my clients that bought the two burner, and it's great for camping and tailgating. The three burner is good to just to put on your outdoor kitchen, and since it's portable, you can take it out and bring it in when the snow comes, or just leave it there. That's no problem.
Sounds like the perfect machine for deer camp, Joppy.
Yes, it does.
All right. Arnold Meunier from Opa Plancha. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to put a post on the website and make sure people can connect to you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
All right. That sounds like a great piece of equipment, and I hope we sometime have a chance to put that thing to the test, because it's a cool-looking unit, and being all stainless steel, it's got to be very durable. Coming up next, we're going to dive right back into the chili bowl. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek Original Brew Pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsman serving sportsmen. Satisfaction's been our name since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Does go out to the one I love. I love a little bit of chili. And we recorded this show because Barbecue Bob and I, as you listen, are probably about elbow deep into a 6-gallon batch of chili made with some gravel bottom smoky porter beer because we are in the chili and beer cook-off in Ada, Michigan, and you still got time to come down and see us. We start serving at 11:30, and we'll be done about 3 o'clock.
Yeah, downtown Ada, Michigan. Just look for the big tent, all the smoke, and a massive parking lot full of cars because it's going to be a crowd. It's going to be a fest.
I think they got 16 breweries. There's about 35 chilies that are going to be there, and you can get a tasting ticket for 50 cents. And
yeah,
you
it's
come
a
by
heck
and,
of a deal, really.
I know. You
it's
come
like
by.
$5 gives you, what, 14 tries?
Something,
or something
yeah.
Like
it's
that.
A ridiculously good deal. And if you tell them you heard it on the Grilling Guys, we'll double your portion.
And if you've never drank beer at church, this is your big chance.
Oh, this church rocks. They do this every year. Yeah, it is in the place called the Community Church is where we're in their parking lot. But if you can make it down to Ada in Michigan, put it in your GPS and come see us. It's a small little burg, and we'd love to chat with you while we're serving you some
that's right,
cause
today,
award-winning chili.
Because today we're officially the Chillin' Guys.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little Tex-Mex.
Okay.
That's probably the chili that most people are familiar with around the country. If you buy the canned Hormel, if you do any of these things, you're going to get kind of a Tex-Mex style. And that's basically light red kidney beans, ground beef, maybe cumin, always cumin, chili powder or chili peppers, tomatoes, tomato sauce, tomato paste, variations like that. And, of course, sautéed onions, garlic. Chili can be pretty simple. It doesn't have to be terribly complex.
Some of the best I've ever eaten has been simple, but it's seasoned properly.
Yeah.
That's the key to me. You know,
balance.
Some people like these big, spicy, make you sweat kind of chilies. And if that's you, that's cool.
I do.
You know, but
I used to kill people with my chili.
Yeah?
I always made it for me. And I had to learn that, you know, you can actually throw jalapenos and cheese on your chili
your
when
bowl.
You're done.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
And then everybody else likes it. So, you know, having a house full of kids, I was pretty guilty very often of making it to where they were crying to eat it. But, you know, in my earlier married days, I worked out of an office in Cincinnati. And so I got it to where I was like a Reds fan and a Bengals fan because we had seats. And I was in Cincinnati a whole bunch. And one thing they have in Cincinnati is Cincinnati chili. And my favorite chain down there is called Skyline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've made it for you at my house before.
Yeah, and they
sell it in a can. Yeah, right? Sell it in a can. And the Cincinnati chili is a really, it sounds weird when you first hear about it. You go, man, that's a ridiculous thing to do to chili. But it doesn't have bean in it necessarily. They make the sauce kind of like a Coney sauce.
So it's a little more watery. It's not got chunks of vegetables.
It does, yeah. It's all finely ground. Almost, yes. And they put coffee and chocolate in it. There's no cumin. So there's very little garlic. It's got a completely different profile, but it's amazingly good. So at a Skyline franchise, if you go to one of their restaurants, you can have it any way you want it. But it's typically going to be like chili over spaghetti noodles. That's a two-way.
Right.
Okay? And then you can have the spaghetti noodles, beans, and chili, and that's a three-way. And then you can do cheese, and it's a four-way. You can add onions, and it's a five-way. I get the five-way every time.
Well, sure you do. Because yeah, get it deluxe.
It's beautiful. They get this finely shredded cheese, and they pile it like a mountain on top of it. And then there's a hot sauce bottle on every table, like some Louisiana hot sauce.
Right, yep.
And you squirt that over the top. They give you oyster crackers to go around the side because the noodles want to bleed out a little bit. And I'm so hungry just thinking about it. It is a fantastic way to do chili. If you want to have fun and do something a little crazy, that's a way to do it. And I came up with a recipe and put it on our website several years back. You can take that recipe and run your own direction with it because it's only okay. You won't hurt my feelings. But one of the cool things that goes with chili other than spaghetti noodles is cornbread.
Yeah, and I've been working on perfecting one of those because you know, we give away these barbecues for charity, and we're going to talk a little bit about Operation GI Barbecue in the final segment. But one of the things that I like to do is when I give away a barbecue is to top it off with a little bit of sweet cornbread at the end. And I used to always use those muffins, right? I'd get the muffin tins and the little papers.
Too much work.
It's way too much work, and they just weren't, you know, the Jiffy corn mix wasn't what I was liking. So I perfected it right now where I use that as a base, those corn mix, but I'm mixing in cream corn and a little bit of extra sugar and a little bit of cumin to give it just a touch of a little bit of a twang.
Some people like to throw jalapeno bits in there.
Right, exactly.
But if you have a hot chili, you don't need that.
Right.
The sweet cornbread's better.
Right, and or even bits of bacon. Is I've done that, dice it up real small. But I bake it in like a sheet cake pan now and then cut it and serve it in squares. But the creamed corn inside of there, this is nothing unique to me. I just found the recipe,
right.
but it works.
Common in the barbecue industry.
Right, and it's a little more moist. And and the other thing is with that creamed corn in there, it keeps for 3 or 4 days, where a corn muffin, after the second day, you're playing hockey with the thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
It's just really cool to have that little bit of influence in there, that creamed corn.
I was at a local barbecue place a few months ago when it first opened up, and their cornbread is like sawdust.
Yeah,
I won't say the name of the place, but right. I was, you know, just choking trying to get it down, which makes you drink more beer. But it, you know, you can mess up cornbread real easily. One thing I like to do with it is I like to add a butter EVO.
Okay.
And you got to be real careful on the number of eggs you use with your corn muffin mix because the eggs play with the texture. But I also add maple syrup instead of sugar.
Ooh.
And maple syrup. And if you don't have maple syrup, you can use the cheap stuff, you know. But that mapley syrup and cream corn, a little extra salt, and my goodness, they turn out so stinking good. And especially if you're heavy on the syrup, it's kind of sweet and salty. You throw that, you dip that in your chili. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Absolutely.
That's something I absolutely
fabulous.
Love.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So the Cincinnati chili thing, that's not real popular around Michigan. I've often wanted to just get a franchise for Skyline because I'm sure it would explode if somebody stuck with it long enough. It just hasn't ventured out of Ohio a whole lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know
why.
It's
unique.
Cool, though.
Yeah, you know what? I believe it's the texture. It's not the taste. The taste of it is great. It's just different than I'm used to texture because it's not pureed. It's not like a that, but it's not chunky at all. The meat is the only thing that's
chunky.
Yeah,
I have a feeling they use beef hearts just like the Coney people do.
Yeah, something like that.
But while my my son-in-law was up last week and I had all the family over, one day they said they wanted chili dogs. Well, I have a whole bunch of this Skyline chili in the pantry.
Oh, okay.
So I went down and grabbed a few cans of that, and I got some Kowalski with a skin on them.
Oh, yeah.
Snappers. Yes. And I boiled those up nicely and just did plain, cheap white bread for the bun because you're going to make kind of a presentation out of this, and we're light on the carbs. So, and then I got a couple cans of black beans. And I got the black beans out, so you could make them however you wanted, chopped up. I still have Vidalia's, chopped up onions, and a bunch of shredded Mexican blend cheese. And then, of course, a bunch of different hot sauces out. And I'm telling you, man, we had a fantastic chili dog bar going in the house.
Yeah.
Just with canned and packaged product. It wasn't, you know, no great chef techniques there.
Right.
But
they're grilled.
It's awesome.
The dogs are grilled.
No, I actually boiled them.
Did you?
Yeah.
I boil them first and then put them on there. You don't want them to snap.
I didn't have time.
But you want a little brown. Yeah, you were feeding the troops. Yeah. So, but speaking of that, coming up next in our final segment, we're going to be talking a little bit about Operation GI Barbecue again and feeding the troops. That charity has not gone away, and Barbecue Bob has an update for you on our progress, because we've got a couple more of these big smokers that we were able to secure with our first fundraising effort, and I think we're going to be able to find a home for them hopefully pretty soon. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Yes, and if you are a man, you need to go down to Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan, and check out the best pasty in Lower Michigan, bar none. My wife argues with that, though. She says hers are better, and I couldn't argue with her, so with her.
You can't. Right, yeah. All you do is eat Tony's pasties, so and we'll stop it right there.
Yeah, well, she's determined to make some next week. Next man law is... This is one that you're going to disagree with on, but it's from the book.
I understand.
A man's shoes may not intentionally match any other article of clothing on his body.
And I only have one exception to that, and that's the belt. Your belt matches your shoes. If you're a well-dressed man,
yes,
your belt matches your shoes. I agree. Yeah. You don't need anything else.
Right.
You know,
don't give me green shoes because you got a green shirt, because you're going to get thrown off the bus.
Yeah,
you're not grilling with us.
Unless it's a special event and you know it's like your alma mater shoes or something. You wear them once a year to homecoming.
Oh, don't get me going on that one.
Remember Jeremy up at Ferris? He had those... maroon and gold suede shoes.
Yes.
If he's listening, I'm still laughing about those, brother, but I get it. It's a homecoming outfit, so you wear it.
They'll last a lifetime because you only wear them once a year.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about Operation GI Barbecue. We are in really, really cool position right now because of the election. Everything is going pro-military again, and I can see the seas parting. All the word I'm getting back from the military side is it's like night and day. It's like all of a sudden things are – it's just a change. I can feel the tension lowering. These generals are starting to look forward and think that they can actually make decisions on their own again. And so we are we're going to be shipping those things overseas. We're going to get the green light. I can't tell you – I'm sorry to have to give you, you know, the don't have the final word yet, but I can only tell you that we are in great shape because the world's turning in a positive way. And more proof of that is we got rid of a nasty dictator in Cuba. Fidel Castro is gone.
Yeah, well, so, he passed away. It didn't have much to do with our election. But
No, it didn't, but that's good news because those poor people down there have been repressed for 60, 70 years.
So let's talk a little bit about Operation GI Barbecue, because if we've got new listeners that might not understand what we're doing with this, Operation GI Barbecue is a charitable organization that we have solicited donations to. And what we've done is we've got smokers, we've got charcoal, we've got meat, we've got sauces, we got rubs from a variety of sponsors. Most of it we had to buy with the donations that you all were making. And we went on about raising money. So what we could do, the dream of this thing, was to package all of this up with a smoker on a trailer. It's about a $30,000 package, each one of these, by the time we get it there. And we're going to deliver it to a military base, and we're going to teach them how to use this equipment and then leave it behind so that they get a little taste of home.
That's right.
While they're over there. And it started out on Memorial Day of 2015, and by 2016, we had delivered one of these. We've got a couple more of them in the works.
These are all in-house in Michigan right now. Everything is being stored. It's ready to ship. We do need some help with a freight cost right now because we basically spent everything buying this equipment. So if we could get another $10,000, we'd be safe and we could start on next year's fundraiser. But come down and see us at the Ada Chili and Microbrew Festival. We're going to give you a taste of the best chili at the festival because it's going to be ours.
That's right. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll talk with you next week.